You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 38 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday and a potentially decisive afternoon in the title race. We'll be looking back at the 3-1 victory over Tottenham that helped keep the pressure on Chelsea. And a Sunderland fan joined us on the line to look ahead to the trip to the Stadium of Light.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, welcome along to episode 38 of the RedCafe.net podcast. We're approaching the end of the season now. Dan Dove, how are you this week?
I'm fine, thanks Steve. Come back from a recent footballing injury. But apart from that, I'm all well and good to go.
Tell the listeners what happened then, Dan, your injury.
Well, it wasn't. It sounds not as bad as what it is, but I mean, my leg is horrific. Bad first touch, you know, as happens sometimes. Often much with me, but yeah, bad first touch. I had to lunge into a tackle and might as well have done it on concrete. My leg is just ripped off. They don't sprinkle the pitches when I play in Huddersfield. So, regretted that decision almost instantly. But yeah, it's back on the mend now. How are you, Dov? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. No footballing injuries to report. I'm in 100% health and things like that. I'm glad to hear you're better, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not fully in, there, but yeah.
Do you think you could play a match, get a couple of painkilling injections?
I could, as long as I put a little bandage over it, I could probably do it, but I just know that as soon as I step foot on a football pitch, I'll trip over my own legs or something and just like rip it all off again. I'll be back to square one, but no, it's something I'm looking to do today, maybe.
Oh, great stuff. Well, we'll start the show by looking back. Seems an age ago now, the Tottenham result, the 3-1 victory in the Premier League. Dov, Nani, really stepping up to the plate, isn't he? And he's becoming one of the first names on the team sheet, isn't he?
Oh, indeed, it was fantastic. I think we both got our likes and dislikes here. Obviously, Dan likes Berbatov and Alex Nani. Remember, we were dissing him before, but now I think he is more of a go-to guy as well. I think when we need a bit of spark, a bit of sort of imagination from a player, his teammates are actually looking to him to provide that, which shows the way he's came on in the last few months is fantastic to see. And got to say, the way he took that goal was just, it was fantastic. It was great composure as well, especially considering where the game was at. It was great. I think he's probably our most dangerous threat on the park at the last weekend. It was great to watch. What a player.
It was a fantastic finish. Like you say, you know, the pressure that was on that at that moment, to just lift it over Gomez like that was phenomenal, really, because there weren't that much distance between him and the goal, really, wasn't, to get it up and down. It was fantastic, and like you say, great composure. A lot of players would have smashed that across goal, maybe hit it wide or whatever, but it was fantastic.
And Dan, what about when you need someone with a cool head just to step up and put away two really pressure penalties? Ryan Giggs, there's no one better, is there?
No, well, saying that, he's not. I'm sure I read the other day that he's never taken a penalty in the Premier League.
That's right.
That is outstanding. So I can't believe that. But he took them well. Obviously, put them both in the corner. Gomez got a touch to the first one, didn't he? But you know, it was too far in the corner for him. And I think that he's not played brilliantly well over the past few weeks since coming back from his injury, really. But I think now is time for him to step up, and he scored two. You know, very important goals for us. And they were both nailed on penalty as well, which I was glad to hear, because you know when you hear that United have won two penalties at Old Trafford, you think, oh no, they've been given a few. But no one can argue with those ones. Yeah. Especially the first one, ridiculous tackle. What is he doing there?
I know. So after the game, Giggs was interviewed after the game, and he said that about he's never taken a penalty in the Premier League, and he just said, well, I've never really been in contention because there's always been better penalty takers. And he's like said Steve Bruce, Cantona, and then you had like Van Nistelrooy, obviously Cristiano Ronaldo as well. So it says a lot for the sort of quality of players you've got at the club when a player of Ryan Giggs's ilk can't even get anywhere near taking a penalty in the Premier League.
I reckon he'd have scored a lot more goals as well if he'd have had penalties in him. And he used to take free kicks quite a lot, but obviously until, you know, we had people like Beckham there, didn't we? We had Ronaldo. Rooney takes a few now. Nani takes them. So he doesn't even get a look in there half the time. But when he does take them, he looks threatening.
Dol, I've got to ask you about Dimitar Berbatov. Another decent performance, to be fair. I mean, he had a big part in laying the ball off for Evra when he went over for the penalty, and just his overall performance, he looks like he's working a lot harder, he's interested in getting involved in play, and he just seems, well, not really a changed man, but he's certainly stepping up, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I've got to give him his dues. I thought he was well. First half, I didn't think he was up to much, but the second half, I really thought he turned it on. He was sort of moving the defence around. He was even running in the channels, which was great. I mean, Dimitar Berbatov running the channels, never. It's been unheard of. Never ever happened before. And then we know about his touch. Yeah, and he does have a nice touch, good vision, and to get the back heel for the first penalty was, well. It was great, and I'm sure Dan's very pleased. But I mean, if he keeps going the way he's going, then obviously he deserves to stay at the club. But I mean, he can't just do it in two or three games a season. He's got to do it week in, week out when he does play. So,
no, I thought he's it's a very fair point. But I just think that there's something genuinely sort of something's changed with him where he's like, say, he's working a lot harder. But I mean, that bit of skill for the penalty win was brilliant, really. I mean. He turned the cotto, didn't he? I think Andy Gray said it on the commentary, he ran towards the box instead of always coming out and sideways, which I think it provides more of a threat, and it obviously pushes their back four back, which gives space to people like Evra to go through. So, no, I think it was, and obviously the back heel as well. But I've been impressed with him, and well, I always am impressed, but I think that this last few weeks, I think he's really, you know, he's come on as a United player.
Dov, is it fair to say, I mean, comparing him to sort of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, it's like, similar with Barca fans, I suppose they're split down the middle. Like they, I suppose some think, well, he only turns up on certain occasions. Like against Inter, he was just anonymous, wasn't he? But then at the Emirates, he scored two goals and he was just terrific. So I suppose it's a similar sort of problem, isn't it, with Berbatov?
I think in a way, yeah. But I think the thing with Ibrahimovic, he scores a lot more goals than Berbatov, which I think is maybe Berbatov's downfall these days. He doesn't score, whereas Ibrahimovic, I think he's got. Well, at the start of the season, he was scoring like goal every week, and I think he's the record goal scorer at Barcelona for like a debut sort of run in the team. I think he's got like sort of seven goals or something in his first seven games. I think that's a record. So if Berbatov could add goals like that, then fair enough. But they're similar players and the way that they walk around and they're lazy and things like that. But I think Zlatan, he's got a wee bit more quality, although I know that
should have directed that question to Dan though in your affection for Zlatan. But...
Well, I watched the game on Wednesday, and he was absolutely shocking, that lad. Unbelievable. I mean, he weren't even in the game. How many times did he touch the ball?
Not many.
I don't know. He didn't do anything effective with it anyway. He didn't link up play well. I mean, he wasn't a threat goal wise.
They don't play for him, Dan. That's the thing. You want to play for Zlatan.
That's an excuse that doesn't really.
Do you know?
All true. I just think that he's obviously a very good player. I'm not doubting that, but I just think that he needs to do a lot more if he's playing for a team like Barcelona. Like you're saying, Berbatov should be United. You know, you can't have it both ways.
I'm not a Barcelona fan.
Dan, what about Rafael? He did seem at fault, didn't he, for King's goal when he come off the post. And well, if he'd stayed on the line, he'd have probably got there. But I'd argue that Pavlyuchenko was unmarked, and I think he was coming out.
Yeah, yes, I was.
But Safi and Benzoir on the emails, he thought he coped really well, other than the goal, with the threat of Gareth Bale and Luka Modric. Because, I mean, a lot had been made out of how well Bale had been playing over the last few games. So it was potentially quite a daunting task to come up against him. And in that sense, he did really well, didn't he?
He did very well. And like you're saying about the goal, when I first saw it, I thought, why has he come off his line? But as you rightly said, you know, Pavlyuchenko stood 6 yards out. If the ball goes to Pavlyuchenko, he'll be unmarked, and then they'll say, why didn't Rafael close him down? You can't win. I personally would have probably stayed on the post, but that's because I'm lazy. but Rafael, no, he had a very good game. Bale didn't really do much at all, really, did he? I mean, I know Harry Redknapp played him at left-back, which was a bit of a surprise, on his, you know, how well he's played last few weeks at left-wing.
When he actually changed it around, and he put Palacios at right back and sort of made Tottenham a bit more attacking. I mean, they really threatened us. I think that was like they went into the game a bit too defensive and a bit too cautious. And I think if they sort of came out from the start, I mean, it would have been a much tougher game because we were really comfortable for the most part, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, well, they played I caught her at right back, didn't they, when he's a left back, and I think that might have had a you know, sort of effect on when he gave away the penalty, you know, because it's on his wrong side sort of thing, and he's just lunged in and mistimed it. But that's, I don't know why Redknapp did that, really. Like you say, he could have put Palacios at right back from the start, really. But anyway, it's not for us to worry about. We got the 3 points, and hopefully, you know, tomorrow we can get a win at Sunderland.
Well, exactly. We'll move on to discuss that then. The massive, potentially massive weekend. Dov, is this really it? I mean, if Liverpool beat Chelsea, we beat Sunderland, we go above them. If Chelsea do go to Anfield and win, would you say that's it? We've got Wigan at home on the last day of the season, so we wouldn't really expect Wigan to spoil the party, but with all due respect to them. We've got Stoke as well at home, so we'd expect to win that last day of the season. So it really could be a decisive weekend this weekend, couldn't it?
I think so. I think this is last throw of the dice, as you say, Steve. Although, like I said, all due respect to Wigan, I don't think that Wigan can beat Chelsea on the last day of the season, especially if Chelsea are going for a title, knowing that it's in their own hands as well. But and I'm just a bit worried about Liverpool. I mean, are they going to roll over and die and just let Chelsea win the title? I think a lot of people are saying, oh, it's not professional and things like that, but I don't know. I could see it happening, to be honest.
Have you seen Ferguson's quotes as well? It's quite amazing. He's like, he's all for Liverpool now. You've never seen Ferguson say anything like this, saying that potentially they're a great club and that they've got so much fantastic history. He was quoted as saying, and he even said that he feels it's harsh that Liverpool have had to play on the Thursday and then play on the Sunday as well. So you wouldn't have heard that 6 months ago.
It's mind game, exactly. Mind game, Steve. Yeah. He's talking up Liverpool so much, saying, oh, you know, not to let Ferguson down now and stuff. I think it's brilliant. Him and Benitez used to be quite pally though, didn't they? And I think something happened there. But I think
to Liverpool, though.
He would love it if Liverpool could, you know, even get a draw. A draw would be perfect, really. You know, they don't have to beat Chelsea. But I mean, they've not got Torres, have they? And I don't rate Dirk Kuyt that much. It's up to Gerrard, really. We all know what a good player is, but it's up to him now if he wants to go ahead and do it. But like Gerrard said, you know, he's not going to throw a game. Hopefully.
See, you say that, but I mean, I remember I read on a poll of like Liverpool fans, and they were like asked if they like, would you rather the team lost or beat Chelsea? And they were 50-50. Some of them were like, yeah, we'll just take the loss. I don't want United, obviously, to beat them in titles and win a fourth Premier League in a row and things like that. So it depends on that. I think it depends on the professionalism of the players. I mean, how much do they want Liverpool not to let United get a 19th
title? Do you think this is a hypothetical situation? Obviously, it's not happened. But if Chelsea were to win, say, I don't know, 4-0, right? Or for instance, a dodgy penalty, like Jamie Carragher just brought someone down in the box on purpose. Do you reckon United would do anything to say, well, that's clearly...
Oh, Ferguson would definitely have something to say about it.
No, what I'm saying is that if Malouda's running through and the ball's gone, but Carragher sticks a leg out, brings him down, what can actually happen there? Is there any rules in place that could prevent that? I'm not sure if there is.
I think it'd be difficult to prove, that's the thing. How could you prove
it? I'm itching on about if he's gone and he's literally stuck his leg out and like just... Do you know what I mean? I don't know, because the ref would have to give it, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, I think he would... He'd send him off and that would be the end of it. But obviously, United would...
But that's giving him a chance. Do you understand where I'm going with this? It's giving them a chance to...
Oh, yeah, of course,
...to
yeah.
score a goal.
But like Dov says, how can you prove that someone's done it on purpose? And even then, I mean...
I think you could tell if someone did it, like if it was a blatant professional foul. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right with what you say, but I mean, I don't know that there's anything the Premier League could do after that, unless someone ran the length of the pitch and scored an own goal or something crazy like that. But no, I don't know that the Premier League can do anything. But I might be wrong. They might be able to do. We should wait and see, and hopefully that doesn't happen.
No.
I mean, what about Sunderland? They've been written off, to be fair, haven't they? I mean, all the talk's been about Liverpool needing to beat Chelsea, but at the end of the day, if we don't beat Sunderland, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I think you're right. We do need to beat Sunderland. I'm a bit optimistic that obviously you've got Steve Bruce in charge, old captain, etc. I think not that I'm going to insinuate Sunderland are going to throw the game, but I think they're not going to make it as difficult as what they would do. They'll give us a good game, but I think we'll get 3 points, especially because we're going for the title. Sunderland essentially have nothing to play for. They're mid-table. They're not going to get relegated. They're not going to get into Europe. So obviously the players will be just looking forward to their summer holidays in a couple of weeks. And
I think Darren Bent's got a lot to prove if he wants to go to the World Cup. If he scores against us on Sunday, it's a big chance for him there, isn't it? So I think he'll be out to dent us, like you say.
Well, Bobby Zamora's got that place sewn up, Dan. What are you talking about?
Fraser Campbell can have a point to prove.
Yes, Fraser. Yeah, good point. Yeah, very good point. Richardson probably play as well if he's not injured. They've got a lot of ex-United players there, actually, haven't they? But their keeper's Craig Gordon. He's been in great form, hasn't he? So it won't be easy. It will not be easy at all. And like you say, beginning of this season, 2-2 draw at Old Trafford. We were lucky to get a point there, really. My man Berbatov coming up with that great goal, and then obviously the own goal from Anton.
Is Berbatov paying you?
He should be. I have a word.
we'll have a Sunderland fan on the line a bit later on in the show to discuss the game. But we'll quickly move on to look at our player and cabbage of the week, guys. Dov, I'll start with you. Should be quite a few choices for player of the week.
Yeah, a few choices. I'm going to give it to Nani, though. I thought it was just a great attacking threat in the game last weekend. And obviously, it won the second penalty as well. Got that goal he scored. Just great composure, like I say. And I think he's definitely one of the go-to guys at the club now as well, which you couldn't really have said 9 months ago.
Dan?
Surprisingly, and I'm going to give it to Federico Macedo. I mean, his role in last week's game when he came on, obviously provided the assist for Nani as well. Shouldn't be overlooked. It was a good little ball, that. A lot of players would have turned and ran at the defence there, but he had the awareness to slip Nani in. And it was perfectly weighted as well. So I think for that decisive pass, I think I'm going to give it to Macedo.
I'm going to give it to Ryan Giggs just because of the pressure that was on the penalties, and with the point you made earlier about him not taking a Premier League penalty, it just adds to the pressure as well. And you'd have seen a lot of players bottle that, either sky it or just put a weak penalty straight at the goalkeeper, but not Ryan Giggs. Smashed straight into the corner of the net both times. So for that, I'm going to give him Player of the Week. What about Cabbage then? Dan, I'll start with you this time.
I can't really think of a Cabbage of the Week. You've put me on the spot there. I can't think, actually.
It is a tough one because there wasn't many.
No one had a bad game, but I know I said Raphael had a decent game, but like I say, for that goal, there was doubts over him. That's the only reason, because I can't think of anybody else who had a poor game.
Dov?
Again, it is difficult. I'm going to go with Michael Carrick, though. Just the fact that he didn't really put up much of a fight when King sort of jumped on him to score the goal. So
Dov?
It's difficult. There's not very many players, so I mean, I'm struggling for reasons, and I'm going to give up.
Because Michael Carrick didn't jump.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. How you get a cabbage.
And the king climbed all over him. And that should have been a free kick, I actually think. He had his arms all over him.
If the referee doesn't give it, Dan, I mean, but yeah. He just literally bent over and let King mount him. It was terrible.
It is tough. I'm going to give it to Van der Sar, just because he had not a great deal to do other than pick the ball out of the net.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
On CAF Countdown today, we have Vishnu Shari. Big weekend coming up. United playing Sunderland, obviously Chelsea at Liverpool.
Yep.
What are your expectations?
Well, I'm hoping Liverpool can do us a favour. For Gerrard to do his mate Rooney a bit of a helping hand, and then we can hopefully get the job done against Steve Bruce's men. Hopefully Rooney and Berbatov can score some goals.
I'm glad you mentioned Berbatov there, Vishnu. Obviously a quality player. Some people on the podcast don't think he is, but I still stand by him. I reckon he'll win us the title this year.
Yeah, probably. I think so too.
And then I can't wait for that day. Anyway, we'll get into the CAF countdown now. You've got 8 to beat. Well, the clock starts now, and good luck. Who is Manchester United's all-time appearance holder?
Ryan Giggs.
With whom did Gary Neville forge a promising central defensive partnership at youth level?
Pass.
Who was United's chairman from 1951 to 1965? Which party poopers won at Old Trafford on the day United received the Premier League trophy in 2001?
Arsenal?
To which club did Matt Busby sell Tommy McNulty in February 94, 54, sorry.
No idea.
Who is United's current number 22?
John O'Shea.
Who grabbed United's opener against Sheffield Wednesday in a 4-0 rout at Old Trafford in 99?
York, maybe?
At which ground did Mikel Sylvester make his debut?
Old Trafford?
No, it was Anfield. Right, that's Vishnu, right. Unfortunately, you got 2 correct out of 8. They were hard questions, though. I think some of them were quite hard. I'll run through them again, though. You got the Ryan Giggs one right. Gary Neville forged a partnership with Chris Casper, who had to retire for injury. United chairman from 51 to 65 with Harold Hardman. Derby County won at Old Trafford in 2001 when we won the league. Tony McNulty was to Liverpool. You got John O'Shea correct, number 22. I thought you'd get that one. And Paul Scholes scored in the 4-0 victory at Old Trafford over Sheffield Wednesday, and you got the Mikel Sylvester one wrong as well, which was Anfield. So
yeah, I suppose I'll improve, read a bit of history.
Well, thank you very much for coming on anyway. It was
a delight. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's time for Dov's reserve review now, and Dov, you've got a few games to tell us about.
I have indeed, Steve. I have bad news to report on the reserve front. I have a 2-0 victory to Manchester City. To tell everybody about it, that's right. It was in the Manchester Senior Cup at Mustling on the 22nd of April. Basically, the reserves' treble hopes obviously dashed when City beat us. They scored 2 goals, one from Robert Mack and one from Andrew Toot, both late in the game. And obviously, we won the trophy for the last 2 seasons, and also this would have been the 3rd season if we won it. And the United players, the reserves in the match, really were terrible compared to the performances they've put in this season. There's no verve, no composure, anything like that. And really had Ben Foster to thank for only keeping the score at 2-0. In the first half, Alex Nimley for City had a 25-yard shot that was beaten away by Foster. That was only after 10 minutes. David Ball, he forced another save from Foster as well from 20 yards. And then Ibrahim for City, he headed a chance just over the crossbar as well from a bit of a goal miss scramble. United were completely off key. Joe Dudge and Kiko Makeda, he was playing in this game as well. I mean, really, they just weren't at the races. Fabian Brandy, though, he had a shout for a penalty. He got brought down by Reese Alvarez, but was not given. Richard DeLay also had a chance to score as well, but didn't manage to do that. Had a header, but put it wide. The second half, it was a bit more even, but again, obviously United couldn't get the breakthrough. Boyata for City, he smashed the ball over the bar from another penalty box scramble as well. So I mean, City, they were having the better of the chances as the game wore on. Foster had another couple of fantastic saves, one from David Ball again, and this was at close range, and then Nimley, he obviously forced another save from him as well. But then 30 minutes remaining, in on the 77th minute, Nimley, he played a great through ball through to Robert Mack. He outpaced Oliver Gill, took the ball around Foster, and then slotted home for the opening goal of the match. Then 2 minutes later, Andrew Toot scored with a 20-yard effort, and this obviously made the game, basically finished the game, and obviously put City through. Unfortunately, out of the Manchester Senior Cup, but we are the reserve league champions because Liverpool didn't get the result midweek that they needed to get, so we are now unassailable at the top of the reserve league, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done a fantastic job, so congratulations to the reserves there. And well, Steve, I also have some excellent news to report, with the under-18s. They played a couple of games since last I spoke to everybody. They played a game against Stoke on the 21st of April. This was a 3-0 victory. And this day took United 6 points clear at the top of the Academy League Group C. We went ahead after 2 minutes when Nicky Adjose, he managed to get a goal after 2 minutes. Then Paul Pogba made it 2-0 after 19. And then John Coffey, he made it 3-0 on the 88th minute for United. And this game basically it meant that, well, obviously, like I say, 6 points clear, and obviously on the road to clinching another title, albeit in the Academy League. But we also played a game against Derby County on the 24th, and this is another magnificent victory, 3-1 this time. Breeze past Derby with a great first half display. We're obviously full of confidence from the Stoke game. And Paul McGuinness, his team went ahead after 10 minutes. Paul Bogba, he found John Coffey, he was on the edge of the area, and he sort of twisted round to create some space for Rabel Morrison, who sort of after one touch teed up his shot and smashed it into the bottom corner. And that was after 10 minutes. The second goal came out on 19 minutes. Great team move. Larnell Cole, he flicked the ball around to Michele Fornasier, who sort of his ball down the right touchline centre. John Coffey clear. He then sort of picked out Joshua King in the box, and Norwegian, he finished just at the far post there. John Coffey, he had a disallowed goal in 35 minutes. The linesman ruled that Josh King actually touched the ball past the onrushing keeper, which was then collected by Coffey and put in, but this meant Coffey was offside, so goal wasn't given. Although Joshua King, he got his second of the game on the 44th minute, started the move, played the ball to Reece Brown, he sort of whipped in across, and King again at the back post, forced the ball over line, and it was 3-0. And then Derby did get a goal back just after the break, but obviously United's superlative first half display was already done.
Well, it's been a busy week for the youth team and the reserves, because Dov, there was more action during the week, which you're going to tell us about.
There was indeed. Played a game against Wigan, the reserves did, on the 26th during the week. And obviously we know that the reserves, they've won the reserve league title, and they're unbeaten in 2010. But unfortunately, they succumbed to their first defeat this year against Wigan. It was 1-0 at Robin Park Arena. The goal came from Tomas Kupić, I think that's how you spell it, say his name. And obviously this is the second straight defeat for the reserve teams after getting beaten the Manchester Senior Cup by Manchester City. So, how would they fare going into the game at Tough Moor against Burnley on the 29th of April? Much, much better, I would have to say. It was a bit of a younger side put out as well. Larnell Cole, he came up from the under-18s. Michael Keane, Jesse Lingard and Eztas Hussain all started for the reserves. Hussain and Oliver Gill, they were replaced by John Coffey and Robbie Brady in the second half. And the team started to play a little bit better. And the goal, but it couldn't really get the breakthrough until the 93rd minute, I think it was, in added time. Substitute Michael Fornasier, he was making his debut for the reserves. He swapped passes with Oliver Norwood, who then found Jesse Lingard. The ball was flicked to Cameron Stewart, then John Coffey, who brought the ball, forward and slid the ball to Larnell Cole. He needed a couple of touches to get the ball under control. Nicked the ball past the defender and stabbed the ball past Diego Penny in the Burnley goal. Like I said, like Steve alluded to, it's been a busy week. The reserves also, the academy, also in action. They had a game in the Academy Premier League against Manchester City. And well, this was a magnificent result. Under-18s, they went 2-0 down. Ahmed Benali and Harry Bunn gave City a first-half lead with goals on the 24th and 27th minutes respectively. And basically it's two set pieces that we failed to deal with, which led to City going 2-0 up. But then, in the second half, we showed some resolve and came back basically through our attacking play, which really, really got at City, and managed to get a goal back from Paul Pogba. He's at his wonderful skill. So it took him clear of three defenders on the edge of the box and then rifled a shot into the bottom corner. Then we got a second. It was Josh King. A magnificent shot from 18 yards. I went in off the crossbar. So as you can see, after 75 minutes, we were on top and we had the momentum. And then we got the 3 points. Josh King rose to head home a Nicky Adjosi cross in the 90th minute, which gave us the victory. So I think Manchester City really don't like playing us, especially when it comes to the latter stages of games this season and all levels of the game. So basically, this 3 points has been vital in the race for the Academy Premier League Group C title, because Everton got beat against Stoke during the week, which means that actually if we beat Bolton, which will be played this weekend, or you'll probably be listening to this, it's already been played, but we'll tell you about it next week. If we win that game against Bolton, then we'll be crowned Premier League Academy champions in Group C. So it could be a very, very eventful and good weekend for United.
You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, everybody, it is that time on the redcafe.net podcast where we talk to an opposition fan, as we do every week. And as we have Sunderland at the weekend, we're delighted to welcome Sunderland fan Peter Sixsmith on the line, and he's from salusunderland.com. How are you doing, Peter? Welcome to the redcafe.net podcast.
Thank you very much, David. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
You'll be more nervous about Sunday than we are then, won't you?
Just a little bit, yeah. Just a little bit. I mean, we've been leaving it quite late in the last couple of games, so we're looking for maybe a bit of an easy ride come.
Well, you may not get one. And we're playing reasonably well at the moment. We've had a good run after our appalling run in the winter. I think as the buds of spring have emerged, so has our football again. And we're playing some decent stuff. We score goals, we don't seem to let many in, the midfield works hard, and I think we'll push you probably as hard as any team have done this season.
Yeah, well, you've got quite a good record at home again against some of the top clubs, shall we say. So you beat Spurs 3-1 as well, and also drew with City as well.
Our home record this season has been excellent. The only two teams have beaten us were Chelsea early on in the season, when I have to say they look really impressive. And Aston Villa just before Christmas, who looked equally impressive. We beat Spurs a couple of weeks ago in what's the best game that's been at the stadium for probably 10 years. We beat Liverpool with or without the aid of a beach ball. We beat Arsenal relatively comfortably. It was 1-0, porky in goal from Darren Bent, but we matched them, which we've rarely done in the past. So you're the last of the big clubs to come up. Our last home game of the season, your last away game, and it's set up for, I think, what's going to be a really, really... I'm not sure it's going to be an entertaining game, but I think it's going to be a very interesting game, because I don't think you can afford to make mistakes. Whereas, from our point of view, it doesn't really matter. We settled in the middle of the league. But I should say that we're looking for 10th position. We've got Birmingham City in our sights now. We've got to finish 9th. And for clubs like us, every position in the league equals £500,000. So if we finish 9th, that's an extra £500,000 for the manager to go and unearth some genius from Central America or Namibia or somewhere like that during the World Cup. So I think it's going to be a really, really tight game.
I think I would agree with you there. The stadium is a tough place to go. But you mentioned the manager there, Peter. Steve Bruce, obviously a legend of United. Do you think maybe Alex Ferguson will have a little word in his ear before the game and just say, "Steve, give us 3 points. Make it look like you've tried, though."
I honestly, I watched football many years ago, and I couldn't imagine Alex Ferguson doing anything like that. Could you? It's not really his style of management, is it?
I could imagine
with other managers. I'm sure. That Alex Ferguson, with a wink of his eye, will say that. And I think, and I'm quite serious, that he would be very disappointed if Steve Bruce said, OK, Alex, I'll do that for you. Because I think that would challenge the integrity of football. And although Ferguson does sometimes stretch the boundaries of integrity, I think he still has the goodness of the game at heart. So I don't think he'll do that. And I think that if Sunderland win, and I think they've got every chance of winning, he'll be the first man to go over and shake Bruce's hand. So I'm not really expecting there to be any little fiddle job going on. But maybe Sir Alex could do it for us next year if we need to win the league and in the penultimate game of the season. Who knows?
I'm sure it would if it came to that as well. A couple of players actually I want to maybe turn attention to. Fraser Campbell and Kieran Richardson, obviously, yeah. Both of them have played at United. What are your thoughts on both of them, and how are they sort of like Fraser Campbell, especially? How's he settling into life?
He took a while to settle in, did Fraser, and there were times when I thought, and I've actually written it, so my words will come back to bite me, that he didn't look like a player who was going to make it at this level. And then again, he got used to the club. He obviously getting used to the area, and he's settled, and I think Bruce has given him a good run in the team, and he looks like he's going to be a good player. Maybe not top level, you know, maybe not, you know, which presumably is why United have let him go. But for a middle-ranking Premier League club, I think he's going to do a decent job. He's quite a committed young man. I think he's worked hard. He's got apparently a good name in the club. He's well-liked and well-thought of. Hull City fans didn't seem very keen on him on Saturday for some reason. I think it's because he turned them down, and who could blame him? I think he's done well, and I think he's got a lot of potential. He'll make a good living as a Premier League footballer.
And Kieran Richardson, he's a bit of a prickly character, shall we say? what are your thoughts on him?
Well, Kieran's he's a good player. I think he's a very good player, and Bruce is determined to turn him into a left fullback. We struggle at left fullback. George McCartney, who signed for last season from West Ham, came back to England, has had injury and I think some personal problems. Anton Ferdinand tends to play more on the right side than the left. So, you know, Kieran's been pushed in there, which is a shame because he's probably our most creative midfield player, and he does like to sit behind the forwards. Whatever happens to him, he'll be remembered for one thing, and that is that he scored the winning goal against Newcastle last season. It was the first time we'd beaten Newcastle at home since 1980, would you believe? We haven't played them a huge amount of times. And he scored a tremendous free kick that nearly took the net out. So he'll go down in Sunderland folklore as the man who beat the Mags. And ultimately, that 2 points and down, and although they've come back, we've had a great season watching them have to go to places like Scunthorpe and Doncaster and Blackpool. But unfortunately, they're back with us next year, so they'll make complete fools of themselves, we hope. So Richardson is making sounds about extending his contract. He seems to be happy at the club. Bruce seems happy with him, so hopefully we'll keep him and he'll continue to play well for us.
All good. And there's obviously a couple of players what we've mentioned there, and say one we should maybe fear would be Darren Bent, who seems to be scoring more goals than Harry Redknapp's wife.
Yeah, I think he's a slightly better player than Alessandra. He's doing very well, and he's a good player, David. He's a good player. I've watched him. He works hard. He's not the most skillful of players in certain areas, but you know, perhaps he doesn't win a lot in the air, and he doesn't hold the ball up as well as others can. But he's a natural goal scorer. He's a predator. And if you get the ball into the box, he's quick. A goal he got against Arsenal, he reacted so quickly. There was a shot that came off Campbell's shins, hit the post, and he was there to just to put it in the net. And you can't teach a player to do that. They either do it, or, you know, they can either do it or they can't. What we paid for him, he's been an absolute bargain. You know, £10 million, he's scored 25 goals this season. He's probably going to finish up at the top or the second top English goal scorer. And I'd really be disappointed if Capello doesn't take him to South Africa as the fifth striker. You know, I think to say that they're going to take somebody like Agbonlahor or Zamora above him is quite frankly a bit of an insult. So I think your defence will have the work cut out against him in the 6-yard box, which is where he tends to get most of his goals.
Yeah, I mean, Capello said he'd pick players on form, and Darren Bent is certainly one of them. Well, I'll turn our attention to United for a second. Right, I'm going to put a situation at you, Peter. Say, yeah, Sunderland have all the money in the world, more than Manchester City, and you could have one United player. Okay, you've got all the money in the world, so you can buy anybody you want, apart from Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney, well, that's, yeah. I don't think anybody else we want. You know, I don't think we'd take Berbatov. You know, Kenwyn Jones can be moody and temperamental, but he's a mere novice compared with Berbatov. In all seriousness, I wonder if Steve Bruce is talking to Sir Alex about him, and I would take Johnny Evans.
That's good shit, John Evans.
We've had John Evans twice on loan. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's quite made the progress that Manchester United would have hoped this season, and I just wonder whether the club might be keen on selling him. And I think for a club like Sunderland, he'd do a tremendous job. I think he's potentially a very, very good player. So I'd take him from the present team. And in all seriousness, I don't think there's anybody else that would hugely. I mean, Paul Scholes would have done 5 years ago, but maybe not now. And you're not going to sell any. You're not going to sell as Rooney. So Johnny Evans, yeah.
Excellent stuff, Peter. Interesting choice indeed. And before we let you go, can I just get a quick prediction for what you think is going to happen at the weekend?
Well, I'm hopeless at predictions, mind. I think Sunderland are going to win 2-1.
Peter, this was going so well until about 2 seconds ago.
Well, you know, I've got. What can I say? You know, I've been going there for nearly 50 years, so I've got to stick with the team. And I think that we can win this one. I think we've got. There's no pressure on us. So I think a lot will. I think a lot might depend on what happens on in the 1:30 game. I think is it Liverpool and Chelsea? I think they're playing at 1:30, aren't they? And I think a lot will depend on what happens there. But I think we can exploit gaps in your back four. I'm not entirely convinced that your back four is solid. I thought the goal that you let in on Saturday against Spurs was down to poor defending. Nobody marked Ledley King. I know it's often you often don't look for Ledley King, do you, when you play in Spurs, because you see him so rarely. But I thought there was some poor marking there, and I think we can really take advantage of that. And, you know, Bente gets in the box and slips the little one in, and bingo, we've won.
Right, I just...
on the other hand, you could beat us 4-0.
See, that's more like it, Pierre. That's much
better. But you haven't got Wayne, you haven't got Rooney, and, you know, I think without him, it takes so much out of his side, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, he's a quality player. He's as good as anybody I've ever seen. Uh-huh. And the last couple of times he's been to Sunderland, he's given us a masterclass in how to play football. But I think without him, we struggle a bit up front.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for Berbatov maybe to step up. I mean, a 4-0, I'd like a 4-0, but obviously you've got to stick with your team, Peter, so I won't hold that against you at all.
Well, it'll be interesting, and I think I've got to say that from what I've seen this season, Chelsea have probably played the better football. I think any team that scores 7 goals on 3 occasions is playing some really good stuff. But they can implode, and they don't like playing away from home, probably... you know, whether Liverpool roll over for them, I don't know. We'll see. Okay, mate.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Peter, all I can say is thanks for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
My pleasure as well. And we'll see you next season, which is, for a Sunderland fan to say that with 2 games left is quite good news.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully we'll speak to you again next season, Peter. Thank you.
Okay, David. Right, thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, that was the views of our opposition fan for this week. Dan, goes without saying that it's must win at the Stadium of Light, but how do you see the team potentially shaping up? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about whether Rooney will be fit. Picked up a few awards this week, of course, the pinnacle being the PFA Player of the Year. Deserving of that award?
Yeah, he's had a fantastic season, scored plenty of goals. You can't argue against it, and obviously the awards are voted for by professional players as well who've played against him, and obviously he got the writers one as well. So it's not a surprise. It'll be a big boost for his confidence coming up to the World Cup as well, knowing that everyone's behind him. But that could also lead to a bit of pressure. But in terms of the Sunderland game, I think it would be a risk to start him, but I think he'd want to play, and I think he will do. Rio Ferdinand's meant to be back as well, back to fitness, which is good news. But I think we'll go 4-4-2. We've got to go for the win. It doesn't matter if we lose, really. And, well, depending on the Chelsea. If Chelsea were to lose and we lost, then that would be an absolute travesty. But obviously, we've nothing to lose, really. We've got to go out there. We've got to win the game regardless. So hopefully we'll be a positive selection by Ferguson.
Dolph, how do you see the game going then? What about a prediction?
Yeah, I think we will win. Yeah, I think, again, with Dan, I'm agreed with it. Sort of going more attacking-wise, playing a 4-4-2. And I think we'll get maybe a... it'll be a 2-2-3-1. I think it'll be relatively comfortable as well. I don't think we'll be made to work too hard. But I'm in a minority view, I think. But I think we'll get a win quite easily, I think.
Great stuff. Well, it could be a really, really interesting podcast next week then if results go our way. But that is just about the end of episode 38 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember, you can email us podcast@redcafe.net. The EPL Talk Awards... the voting's still open, so if you haven't voted for us, then feel free to head over to there and cast your vote. sign up to the Facebook group too, like I say every week, if you haven't done that already. We really appreciate all your support on there, and it keeps Dob from being bored at work as well, so you get involved. That just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening again this week, and hopefully join us for a really upbeat podcast next week.